Thank you, Mrs. Holloway. We're glad to be with you ladies. I appreciate the invitation here at your church and the ladies' Bible study. I was asked to talk on the theme of Halloween, so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The season is upon us, as you know, and won't be very long before this 1 week from today will be the 31st of October. We have a tract that the church has, and you perhaps have seen that, but we have a number of things we want to talk about. I thought we would take maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so, and talk about the Halloween in general. Then maybe you ladies have some questions that you'd like to ask in regard to the subject, and that's what we'll do. The origin of Halloween, first of all, it's called All Saints Day. It's the eve of All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a Roman Catholic festival. We don't worship All Saints Day, but the Roman Catholics do. The first day of November every year. And the pagans had this festival from the Druids, the pagan Druids of Ireland and England and Scotland. And Druids were satanic priests that had human sacrifice, animal sacrifices, and everything else. And they had this special feast day they called Samhain. And Samhain was the Lord of the Dead. And the Lord of the Dead was worshipped on this day. This was his first day, was the New Year's of that thing. It's also, we call the 31st of October, Satan's birthday. Because the Satanists and the witches and the covens all have special services on Halloween. There are eight different festivals that the witches and occult leaders have. Halloween is one of the most important. There are two real important ones. Halloween is the first and leading one. So Halloween, if November 1st is the hallowed day of the Saints' Day, All Saints' Day, the hallowed evening before that day would be Hallow Even. And so the hallowed even would be the evening before the Saints' Day, which would be the 31st of October, worshiping the All Saints Day on the 1st of November. Roman Catholicism has, what they did, they took this pagan satanic feast of Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, which the pagans had all worshipped for many years, and they simply Christianized it. There are many countries and many civilizations that Rome took over, and instead of breaking with paganism, oftentimes they just accepted and adopted paganism into their system. And so that's how we have Halloween before All Saints' Day. The devil's birthday, and every time they meet, the witches, of course it's connected with witches and demon worship and occult festivities, but during normal courses of the covens, which are what they call the witches when they get together in a coven, it's a meeting, usually 12 or so, maybe 13 I guess is the number. That's why number 13 is supposed to be not lucky, because of the witches' ritual. They sacrifice when they meet cats and dogs and animals of that nature, but on Halloween is a special high holy day, and they try to sacrifice a human being, whether a little baby, whether one of their own children that they've groomed for this reason or for some other reason. What they do. Now, the Druids were the ones that initiated this, and there's a paper called The Dark Side of Halloween, written by a pastor in Wisconsin. And this book describes some of the things in regard to Halloween, the history of it. Remember I told you the original Druid celebration was called the Feast of Samhain, S-A-M-H-A-I-N. I don't know why they pronounce it Samhain, but they do. It's spelled differently. The Druids were these high priests, and Samhain was the Lord of the Dead. Here's his picture. I want to say a picture of him. It's what we call the Grim Reaper. It's the skeleton. You see, you wonder why Halloween is filled with death? Because it celebrates the Lord of Death. Now, my question is this. Do you and do I, as believers, if we're saved, born-again Christians, want to pay homage to the Lord of the Dead? The world does it. And I think the Christians and the believers should make a separation stand against all of this type of thing. You don't have to drive very far in your neighborhoods before you see tombstones, nets, devils, skeletons, all kinds of death. This is the Lord of the Dead. This is the Grim Reaper, and that's his picture. And it's one of the chief of the two main days. And, of course, the Druids still are in operation in England. They have a circle usually. Now, they're in Scotland, in England rather, Stonehenge, England, is a place. Here's a picture of it. Where they still meet, the Druids do, for human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, and various other things. Stonehenge, it's a circle there. It's a seat of Satanism and satanic operations. And so it's a worship day, and it's the birthday of Satan himself. And I don't want to celebrate Satan's birthday, do you? afternoon. Good morning, Pastor. Good to see you. I don't want to celebrate Satan's birthday, that's for certain. And, of course, the ritual days, the main ritual days, they've got eight of them, occult days. And, of course, this Halloween is number one on that ritual. There's various symbols of the Druids and the satanic culture as well, and maybe some of the symbols you've seen before. I'll give you a picture here of them. Here's some satanic symbols. First, the goat's head is right here with the goat. That's a Satan himself. He's a goat symbol. Here's this lightning sort of rod. You perhaps are familiar with this Harry Potter situation. He's got that lightning rod on his forehead, and of course that's completely satanic and witch-like, and the four volumes, I guess, they've got out now. My wife is doing a series. She has a broadcast every week, twice a week, in fact, on WTMR, Just for Women, she calls it. And she's been dealing with this Harry Potter series. And he's got this lightning on his forehead, but that lightning is a symbol of Satan. And that's an S. If you look at that symbol, if you look at that, it's a curved twist. And Satanism is there. Now, this Miss Rawlings, who was interviewed on Channel 32, Larry King Live, and she claims she didn't know too much about Satanism. She's making up a lot of this. Don't believe it. She knows plenty about it. She's in with it up to her eyeballs. And, of course, why do you think she sold that book after midnight? Why that fourth volume came out after midnight? All the bookstores couldn't even open that volume four until midnight, because that's the hour of the witches. That's the sacred hour of Satan's witches and all the witches of the world. Midnight is their favorite time. And this whole thing, and I tell you, and to have some people come around here, I'm diverting a little bit from Halloween, but Harry Potter is this Halloween season, see, it's what it is. Millions of people have bought this thing, and then they ask the question, they say, well, how has this Harry Potter changed your life? As if it's like Jesus Christ or something. How has he changed your life? These young people are worshiping this fellow, and he's a wizard. He's born a wizard. A wizard is a satanic devil witch, a male witch. That's all a wizard is, and that's what he is. And they try to make light of them. Historically, whenever you have things that are fables, like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and various other things, the good guys are not witches. The good guys are non-witches. And the bad people are witches and strange people and so on. But in this case, the bad people are the good guys. The witches, like Harry Potter and the wizards, are the good. Complete inversion and change. Here's another mark of Satan, 666. Or FFF, or the three circles. The three circles. This is satanic. This Halloween, it's all... See, once you get into Halloween, you're getting into symbolism of the occult. You're getting into Satanism. You're getting into all this deep things of Satan. I don't want anything to delve in too much into it, because I'm not interested in Satan. But I want to expose it, see? I tell you, when you get too deep into these things, you're liable to get affected. I don't want to get affected. But now notice this other thing, the three circles. If you look on the New King James Version, you'll see three circles. Interesting. Now you say, well, they didn't know that, just three circles. That is a symbol of Satanism and of the occult. I don't know why they put it on there. Look at that sometimes. Just, you know, it's interesting. In passing. But there's other symbols. Here's the pentagram, this five-pointed star with a circle around it. That pentagram, which is a satanic symbol. You perhaps have heard about that. And then, of course, this finger salute here to Satan, that's what that is also. Now, there's another symbol. The inverted cross, that's another symbol of satanic worship. And so these are some of the things that... Now, the Druidic influence, the Druids, as I said before, were the priests of Satan in Ireland and Scotland and England in the early days. And as we said, the Druid influence, there were nine signs of the occult interest and activity in young people. Nine signs. If you want to see if your young people are involved in occult activity, here's a suggestion. Here's some of the things, not suggestion to get them involved, but there are signs of occult activity that this pastor from Wisconsin, pastor, has given. Number one, check the posters in their room. Are they satanic looking? Do they emphasize violence, torture, death? Is there satanic symbols on them? Number two, look at their notebooks. You young ladies, according to me, you're young ladies. I guess some of you are as old as I, maybe one or two, but most of you have children. Look at their notebooks and papers and desktops, see? And the floors. Do you find pentagrams, upside down crosses and so on? Goat heads, 666, various things. Look at it. Then three, have you found ritual items in their room? Ritual knives, bones, silver chalices, silver pentagrams, unidentified type of fluids, and so on. And then four, is he or she called by a different name by friends? In other words, do they have an occult name? This is part of Satanism to have a different name. Then five, have you found occult literature, videos, or music? The Satanic Bible and the Satanic Rituals by Anton LaVey, books by Aleister Crowley, and so on. And then six, have you discovered a book of shadows? That's one of their books for diaries and so on. Number seven, previously unnoticed cuts, marks, tattoos, or brands on your children. Have you noticed any of those? Number eight, obsession with fantasy games like Dungeons and Dragons, where they just make up things. See, this Dungeons and Dragons was the precursor of the Harry Potter things, and now they're just going with it. And that's going to be made a movie. According to Larry King Live, that woman came on here. She got a beautiful British accent. She's only 35? Something like that. And she's going to have a movie out here on the satanic system of Harry Potter. And that'll be great guns, I'm sure. She's already made multi-millions in the sale of her four books. She's going to write seven books altogether. And she's going to quit all on this thing. But obsession with fantasy games. And then nine, evidence of animal torture or sacrifice. These are some of the signs that you might want to look at for your children, should they be in that. The bonfires, of course, that take place on Halloween many times, they are really called bonfires. That's what they were. Bonfires, because on the Druids' sacrifices, in this pagan ritual, they sacrifice human beings, human lives, put them in the fire, and as their bones were being burned, depending on how they would twist and rise and move and writhe around and be in pain, they would predict the future. So this is part of their... So it's not a bonfire, it's bone fire, and they had bones of animals many times, but many times, like on Halloween, October 31st, they would sacrifice human beings. The Lord of the Dead, the Grim Reaper, we gave you a picture of that, what he is, and the Druids and Stonehenge. And then I talked about the dead. He's the Lord of the Dead. Here's the Philadelphia Inquirer back in 1995, but it's they say Hollow Weekend. And here's some pictures talking about the deadness of things. To all a good fright, instead of Santa Claus, to all a good night. Well, Santa Claus is bad enough as far as this unbelieving person and so on. But here's to all a good fright instead of all a good night. Growing up good times and wild and outrageous. Here's people that are embalmed like mummies and so on. Different pictures in the Inquirer. And this is what they glorify. Exploring Halloween's roots. Growing up the good times. Then here's tomb it may concern. Not to whom, but tomb. The dead. The place of the dead. Tomb it may concern. See, all these things to horrify people. And here's a man with a... The mask over his face, and of course with the light and so on, walking around, scary type of thing, and that's the basis. And then here's fun for little ghouls and boys, instead of little girls and boys, little ghouls and boys. So here's a glorifying wickedness, death, and scariness and fright. So where pumpkins come from, and so on. So these are some of the pictures right in our newspapers and so on. They go along with these things. Now. There are five reasons why there's harm for Halloween. As I said, this Pastor Brown over in Wisconsin is a good man, a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist preacher, and he's one of our advisory council members of our Dean Burgon Society. We know him personally. He's written an excellent paper on this, and he says Halloween is harmful for five reasons. Number one, many are exposed to witchcraft and occult practices at Halloween activities. That's the first reason it's harmful. They're exposed to it. He mentions that when he was a little boy, he went to a group of kids into a basement or Halloween party, and they wanted to contact the spirits and the ghosts and to see if they could have some table levitate, raising up the table. See, this is it's an introduction to this thing. And at parties, these Halloween parties, this is what goes on many times. Not always, but he was involved with this pastor. And then he asked why they were doing this. And the woman said, well, we're going to have a seance and call up the devil. Well, not me. This pastor got out of that fast. Even though he's a young person, he knew that was not right. But it's an opportunity to get involved with witchcraft and occult practices be exposed. And then the second harm it is, number two, it provides an acceptable opportunity for witches and other occultists to promote pagan beliefs. It's acceptable. See, even Christian, Bible-believing Christians may say, oh, well, Halloween, that's all right, that's acceptable. The world that doesn't know Christ, that's acceptable. So as long as it's an acceptable holiday, the witches and the occult people can just plug in all their nonsense and all their Satanism paganism and false doctrines, and it's an acceptable thing for to promoting pagan beliefs and ideas. And the third harm, number three, children and even adults are conditioned to be receptive to occult doctrines and practices and are desensitized by the violence and death associated with its celebration. So we're conditioned to be receptive. We're desensitized to death, desensitized to the grotesque, desensitized to goblins and ghosts and images and things that would frighten people. And because it's a time to do it, everybody accepts it. And so they plug in there. It's an opportunity and for us to be receptive to their violence and so on. And it is a violent situation, as you know. Jeffrey Dahmer was a Satan worshiper. And Jeffrey Dahmer, on July 22, 1991, as you know, dismembered and mutilated 17 bodies of people, see. And these were a set part of Satanism. And the same is true of Ted Bundy. Raped, brutalized, and mutilated some 28 women, even more. See, this is all part of the occult, and he was involved with it, and maybe got into it because of the receptivity and the desensitization that Halloween provides. It's an opportunity, see. It's an opportunity to just get right in there, though you and I, if we participate in this, don't believe that this is the case, the witches believe, and listen, Satan is real. See, the unbelievers and the modernists, the apostates, don't think Satan's real. He's just an influence on... He's real. God tells us in His Word He's real. And we are not to be confused by the wiles of the devil. It's all in there and so on. And we've got to be careful. And then the fourth harm is fear can have detrimental effects on people. Fear. And that's when I know my own daughter, Diane. They had in a Christian church right here in New Jersey, close by. I think it was, wasn't it, Bob? They had a Halloween scare party. Now, this is a, I mean, listen, we've had to grow out of a lot of our beliefs in Halloween. When we were growing up, young people, my wife and I both, back in the early days when the West was young, we went Halloween. This was all the way we did. Everybody did it, see. Listen, that's getting to be, it's not any more fun. They just did a few pranks here and there, but now things are different. Now they're lighting fires in Camden. A couple years ago, 25, 30 fires and so on. Who knows? They have to have special outlooks. I tell you, evil, and in fact, this, I heard on KYW the other day that they're banning Halloween activities in certain areas, and they said the reason was some Bible-believing Christians were against it, and also it was getting out of hand as far as the frightening and the scariness and various other things. So, but fear, as this has torment, 1 John 4:15. And I tell you, when my daughter went into this scare party, she never has been the same. I mean, she's a mature woman with two young children and so on, and they're living in Florida, but she always remembers. And it's something you can't escape when you get frightened. He mentioned some of these things, like, for instance, going to some of these parties, and here's a ghoulish person all of a sudden comes up with a buzz saw, actual saw, electric saw, and ready to carve off your arm or something, see? Now, you might not do it, but I mean, this is, you know, frightening you to death, wouldn't it? Walking into one of these, well, you ought to stay out of those places. Stay out of those scary places. It's nothing to do with believers and Christians. Fear have many effects. A fifth harm, it provides the opportunity to experiment with the occult to see if it works, and an excuse to do evil. Experimentation to do evil. See, it's there if you want to do it. There's a man, a Christian Apologetics Research and Information Service, Jack Roper is his name. And this is the time of the year where you have the highest rate of satanic ritual crimes that Halloween's. What is? He went on to say, around Halloween, one of the things that you see is graveyard desecration. They dig up the bodies and they have ritual performances on those bodies. It's terrible. This is satanic, see? Real satanic stuff. Graveyard, self-styled Satanists use human bones in their rituals. Graveyard vandalism is a common occurrence at Halloween. In fact, one of the reports says, the FBI says that between the 1st of October and the 31st of October, there's a great theft of cats and dogs for sacrifice and so on. And so, and the SPCA has to be very careful, black cats especially, so different things. So it's a rate of sacrifices in parks and around Halloween time, various other things that they do in their slaughter. And then the pastor says, while deer hunting in Marriott County, Wisconsin, he says, I came across the remains of a bull that had been sacrificed within a stone circle. Now see, this is your Druid stone circle, just like the Stoneheads over there in England. Most likely was this was a part of Halloween ritual sacrifice performed by a satanic group. And so he's got a whole lot of pictures, this pastor has, of animals that have been sacrificed, graves that have been desecrated, living persons whose bodies have been mutilated in occult rituals by tattooing, cutting, piercing, whipping, and branding. And then there's the envelope marked pictures of human sacrifice. He's got a picture, a group of those, this pastor does. I mean, he's really gone into the detail. There's not the least little doubt in my mind, says he, that Halloween is the devil's separate celebration, packed with evil, packed with evil. And if it's a devil's practice and celebration, you know what the believers should have to do with it. 0-0. Now, where the occult will lead its followers? Where will the occult lead its followers? There are 7 possible results that the occult, if you follow the occult, it will lead. Number one, it'll lead into idolatry. Modern ancient witchcraft is a nature-based pantheistic religion, and the god of the hunt and the goddess of fertility, they're their deities. And this leads you into idolatry, worshiping this pagan stuff if you go into this occult. And this Halloween is but a prelude, a precursor of these occult practices. Number two, the occult will lead, if you follow, into immorality. Perverse sexual immorality abounds within a variety of occult groups. The photographer George Cordieff, for instance, he had a telephone call from a man who asked him to join in a witch coven. This group of witches, 10, 13 of them, gathering together. And so he went in there, and he and his wife went in there. First they told to strip naked and so on. But when the Cordieff discovered that they still had to go through a confirmation ceremony, which involved sexual intercourse with the master and with a high priestess, they decided to leave the group. I mean, immorality is prevalent, and it's a part of the witch's worship. Immorality, idolatry, immorality. The third thing that you'll lead to if you follow it, and that is injury. Injury. The occult and the witches have injury. It could be leading into branding. Satan worshippers burned an inverted cross on a 15-year-old boy's chest. The branding. See, that's part of the thing. When you get into witches, they brand on the chest something else. They're all cutting. A 14-year-old girl was found cowering in her bed after participating in a satanic ritual involved sexual assault and mutilation. Razor blades were used to carve symbols and so on. So cutting, this is all part of the occult. You get into that thing, you got to take the initiations and come with it. Branding, cutting, and so on. And piercing. Tongues, cheeks, noses, eyebrows, navels, lips, nipples, sex organs, various things. All are targets for voluntary or forced piercing. This is all satanic occult. You know, you look around, you see some of these young people and the piercing, you know, all different things. I mean, in the tongue, and they may not connect it with satanic rituals, but it's all involved with this whole thing. This is witches stuff. This is wizard stuff. This is terrible material. And so the actual injury to people. The fourth one, degradation and torture. Numerous groups and teens were required as a part of their initiation to participate in horrendously degrading activities, and one was whipped or every inch of her torso, and so on. So degrading. If you're into this occult, you're going to have initiation, just like go to fraternities and sororities. I never was in this fraternity. I just was apart from it. I didn't want any part of it, see, because I was a separation person. I didn't want to believe in anything like that. But you go into these things, you get initiated. Well, you go into the witch type and the occult type, you get initiated there too. Much worse than any of the hazing of a fraternity or a sorority. Degradation and torture. A fifth thing it leads to, if you follow, insanity. Occult involvement warps and twists your mind. Several years ago, he was called on a minor psychiatric ward to visit. And he says that, this pastor says, as I began to talk with a teenager, I discovered that he was into the occult. He started out just dabbling in the occult, then was irresistibly drawn deeper and deeper into it, and he lost his mind over it. Satan wants the minds of our young people. And once you get into this thing, where are you going? The start of it is Halloween and Halloween parties and Halloween, just a little start, and pretty soon it ends up something. That's the fifth thing. A sixth result, suicide. The occult practices led in suicide many times, where you have Satan telling the person, the Lord of Death, kill yourself and so on, because they've gotten involved with the occult. Suicide. And then homicide. Oftentimes, occult leads to often the murder of other people because they were told by the god of this world, the false deities, to do that. And so these are things. Now, there's also, in regard to Halloween, there's some lies that the witches tell. Now let me give you some of those. There are 4 lies that witches like to tell. Now, when I'm on the radio, sometimes WKDN, they ask me to be on the radio talking about Halloween. They've asked me, I don't know, 3-4 years in a row, whether they do this year or not, who knows? Maybe I've worn out my welcome. But McDonald Martin, very good interviewer. And every time I got on there, I think we must have 75 to 100 people call our office and say, please send me the Halloween tract or something. See, it's an important subject. One time, one of the witches called. You know, I think it was last year. And said, I'm a witch, and you're all wrong. See, witches are not this and that. So there's some lies that witches tell, see. And he said, well, how do you know that? Now, here's some of the lies. Number one, lie number one. Witches do not, the lie is, witches don't believe in or acknowledge the devil or Satan. See, the lie is the Wiccan. They call themselves Wiccan. And Wiccan comes from wicked. That's the wickedness of Wiccan. Wiccan, they say the Wiccans are different than the witches and Satan. We don't believe in Satan and the devil. That's absolutely a lie. They do have a very strong belief in the devil and Satan and Lucifer. And that's the first lie. Lie number two, the witches say the upside down pentagram. They say satanic and not Wiccan. See, they say it's not Wiccan. We don't worry about the upside down pentagram, the five pointed star with a circle around it. See, they say that it's satanic but not Wiccan. No, it's Wiccan and satanic. It's both. Both of them are into that thing. See, Wiccan, W-I-C-C-A-N, Wicca, and I've had even some Bible-believing Christians write on this thing, and they are writing the thing and saying, now, Wicca is different. Wicca doesn't believe in Satan. They don't believe in the devil. They're a different thing, and that's wrong. They are the same thing, but they're trying to cover their tracks. So just because somebody believes in Wicca and not believe in Satan, he does believe in Satan, and they use the upside-down pentagram. Lie number three, they say witches only do good magic, healing magic. Another lie. Witches do evil magic. It's not the healing. And they try to get around that and say, we're just the white witches and the black witches, see. And they say the white witches are all right, the black witches are worse and so on. No, no. They're all, it's not true. They're all doing evil things. And then the fourth lie, the last lie that they tell, they say witches don't believe in blood rituals, animal or human sacrifice. They say witches don't believe in it. Absolutely they do. They certainly do. While many pagan and wicked cult members offer fruit and vegetable sacrifices to their pagan gods and goddesses, blood rituals and animal or human sacrifices are a part of historic pagan and witchcraft rites, and they're becoming increasingly frequent in the witch community today. So don't believe it when they say, we don't have any blood sacrifice. Oh, everything's fine. How do you explain all these dead animals all over the things when they've had these covens and these meetings, especially on the holy night of Halloween, October 31st. Now, there's several things that the witches and cult people believe, common witchcraft beliefs. There are eight of them. I don't know whether we have to go into detail, but I'll just list them. They're animistic. Animism is a false belief that all objects, rocks and trees and plants and mountains are alive and have a soul. That's animism. Number two, panpsychism. That is, everybody has a soul. Psyche means a soul. See, everybody's got a soul. This is their belief. Number three, they believe in monism. There's only one reality. In other words, there's not God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the devil. They're just one, see. And that's where the New Age symbol is. They call their God the one. That's just the one. Monism, they call it. And then pantheism, they believe that everything is God. Everything imaginable is God. Everything that they touch, all nature. And then number five, they believe in polytheism. Many gods and deities. Six, they believe in existentialism, the false belief that stresses the freedom of individuals coupled with the ability to know by intuition and experience and feelings. It's existentialism, it's the feelings. Then seven, they believe in relativism. Just everything's relative. Nothing's absolute, no absolutes on these witches' beliefs. And eight, they believe in reincarnation. And that's why you have the reincarnation into animals many times. And if it's according to the karma, as they say. They use that word K-A-R-M-A. K-A-R-M-A, karma. If it's good karma, you come back as a person that you like. If it's bad karma, you come into a horrible thing you don't want to like. See, whether it's an animal, whether it's another person, terrible. Witches believe in and invoke and worship the mother goddess and her male consort, the horned god, the horned god. The mother goddess is worshipped a variety of names, Aphrodite, Artemis, Diana, just like Diana of the Ephesians, Isis, and so on. And the horned god, the male deity, different names, Adonis, Apollo, Dionysus, Eros, Hades, Horus, Lucifer, and so on. Lucifer is one of their deities that they worship. So there's different beliefs that they have. That's a terrible thing indeed. Then there are three ways that people try to access demonic activity and demon wisdom. Three ways that they clash. This is deeper into what we've gone into than just Halloween, but it's a thing that it leads to. It leads into the occult and so on. When you begin to begin a journey, it's always good to know where it's headed, what direction you're taking. Don't begin it if you don't want to go in that direction. See, that's the thing. Is if you know the end result and you don't want to go, broad is the way that leads to destruction, as the scripture says. So here's how people attempt to access demonic wisdom. Three ways. Number one, divination or fortune telling. They use that, whether forecasting events, whether by the Ouija board, tea leaves, tarot cards, astrology, palmistry, various things, crystal balls, mirrors, crystals. These are things that young people are getting involved in. We used to have a store right in Collingswood, two or three blocks from our house, that sold crystals. There they were, crystals. And I went out of business. I'm glad for that. Now it's a man that does clothing. So I'm glad that they went out of business. But a divination, fortune telling. I've had the Ouija board. We had different things when we were young kids and so on. This is satanic. This is demonic. This IABC and spelling out words on that Ouija board. See? And if your children are involved in that, it's just let them know it's a satanic system that leads to devil worship and so on. There are many hundreds of varieties is divination, and he lists a number of them. Then the second way that they try to get demonic wisdom is sorcery or magic. They usually spell their magic M-A-G-I-C-K. They put a K on the end. Magic. Sorcery or magic, the act of attempting to contact or manipulate or control people, spirits, animals, and plants, the elements, through occult rituals, ceremonies, objects, amulets, talismans, and charms. And so sorcery, and it's real. It's not there's hundreds of different varieties of occult magic, white magic, black magic, red magic, all kinds of magic. They got sex magic, blue magic, neutral magic, liturgy magic. I guess that's some of the modernist churches. They got liturgy magic. sympathetic magic, magic mesmerism, and so on. Magnetism. So that's a way to get the power of Satan and get the demonic wisdom. Sorcery or magic. And then the third and final one, spiritism or necromancy. Spiritism or necromancy. It's an occult activity grounded in the belief that through certain persons acting as mediums or channels, we get this channeling, see, like psychics or necromancers or channelers, the dead or the spirit world can be contacted and hidden information can be acquired from the Witch of Endor. See, that's where she came into being over there in the book of 1 Samuel. There are a lot of different types of necromancy, seances, and so on, telekinesis, levitation, lifting of tables, all these things. Stay away from it. So these are the things that... Now, back on the table there, I've got the yellow things. Here's Halloween facts and history and horrors, various things we have in our Bible for Today ministry on Halloween. You take those, there's plenty for everybody. And on the back of that, there are various verses as far as compromise with evil. I'd like to close with that, and then we'll have some questions. We have a few minutes for questions and answers. I said we take about 10 to 15 minutes. We have some. We close promptly at 11, I'm sure. But 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21, God says, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Very clear, right in the scriptures. And then verse 21, 1 Corinthians 10, 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. God says, stay away from devils. And this demonism is the door that enters the demon world is the Halloween door many times. Not always. There are other ways to enter, but that's one way. And our young people are being influenced by that way. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14, 18, I'm sure your pastor's preached on this many times, but we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And that's what you have in these Halloween parties. And even Christians, they ought to have to do with it. But it says, what communion hath light with darkness? And if we're light, Christ said, ye are the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, he shall have the light of life. But we don't have any communion with darkness, and Halloween rituals are darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And Belial is the devil. We can't have fellowship with these things, and these are demonic and devilish. And it says in verse 17, touch not the unclean thing. And then 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. We have a lot of apostasy here, don't we? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what we have in the the Halloween spirit, and the cult, it's doctrines of devils, and demon activity. And then Revelation 9:20, the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. In the tribulation period, Revelation 9, you're going to find a resurgence of worshiping of devils. And we're heading up toward that way. It's getting late, and the shadows are coming when the Lord's return is nigh, and it may occur at any time. We've got to be ready.